The gospel lesson for today comes from Mark's gospel. It's a reading from the third chapter, verses 13 through 19. It's the description of Jesus' call of the 12. Listen for God's word. Jesus went up the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him, and to be sent out to proclaim the message, and to have authority to cast out demons. So he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. May God bless the reading and the hearing of God's word, that it guides us in our lives of faith. Amen. Imagine yourself in a crowd surrounded by people, most of whom you don't know, but maybe a few friends nearby, when suddenly you hear your name called out, like over a PA system. Now do a gut check. Does that scenario make you feel good or nervous? Is being called out from a crowd a positive thing or a negative thing? Now you could likely say, well, it depends on what I'm being called out about. If I'm the next contestant on The Price is Right, I guess it's a good thing. If I'm being paged at the airport, if my name's heard in a hospital waiting room, I'd probably be anxious and feeling worried. Human beings are complicated creatures. We love to receive compliments that set us apart from others, but we also love to blend in, to just be part of the crowd and not put on the spot or made to feel embarrassment. In today's gospel lesson, Mark describes a situation in which Jesus was on a beach surrounded by a huge crowd, a mixed group of Jew and Gentile. But the crowd's numbers were so large that Jesus had to tell his disciples nearby to bring a boat up to the shore in case the crush of people became too much and he had to move out onto the water itself. But at a certain point on that day, Jesus separated himself from the crowd and he went up on a hill, a mountain. As he did so, he turned and he called out several people by name. And many of the names we've heard before. Simon Peter, Andrew, James and John, Matthew the tax collector, Simon the zealot, Judas Iscariot. When I first began thinking about this sermon, I anticipated reflecting on these 12 apostles, this unlikely cast of characters that Jesus called to be around him. Because within that group, there were some very challenging dynamics, tensions between the city dwellers and the less educated fishermen from the rural villages, or the obvious tension between Matthew, the Jew tax collector, working for the Roman government, and Simon Zealot, who worked actively in a group to push out the Romans and to punish anyone who accorded them welcome. This cast of characters offers us some profound stories and reflections, just as each of you are part of the cast of characters of this church, offering your own faith stories and testimonies. But the more I read the passage, the more my focus kept shifting away from the list of names and settling back on the verbs that describe what Jesus did when he called those apostles. And I kept imagining what must it have felt like out of that thick crowd on the beach for this group of 12 to be called out, isolated, and brought to be beside Christ. I mean, put yourself in that place. You're there and you hear these names called out, Simon Peter, Andrew, Matthew, and then you hear your own. We're told that Jesus called these people for two reasons. He called them that they might be with him and that they would be sent out to preach and to have authority over evil. But those two tasks seem to be contradictory, to be with Jesus and then to be sent out from Jesus into the world. But it's the order of the verbs that's most compelling. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus calls us to come to him, to abide with him, to acknowledge from him all that gives life and healing and strength, as then we go out to live and to work in the larger world. Now on this day, those disciples, those 12 apostles, never submitted a resume. They didn't apply for the position. They didn't use that great American virtue of self-promotion and ask to be hired by Jesus because they could bring so much value to the corporation. Instead, they were called. They were summoned forth. They were literally drafted into discipleship. And drafted by the one who knew them, knew their potential, loved them unconditionally, and who would demand much of them. And the same is true of us. We pick and choose so many things in our daily life. We choose banks and grocery stores and doctors and hairdressers. We choose jobs and partners and pets. And if we're honest, too often we choose churches the same way, based on convenience, personal comfort, how well it fits with our own schedule and needs. But in truth, if we're honest, we never volunteer officially for Christian duty. We are called to leave everything and to start anew by following Christ. And that's an entirely different process. We stand in a crowd, and out of that crowd, we hear our name called and are compelled to step forward, away from anonymity, away from a safe hiddenness in the midst of others, and to move towards someone that has authority over us. So consider this question today. Jesus has called you. If he has taken this initiative, if he has known you and called you, where is it? How would others see the reality of that call? Now, being here in a public act of worship perhaps is part of the answer to that question. But believe me, that's not the whole answer. And it can't be, not by a long shot. These past few days, I was at a Covenant Network conference in scenic Cleveland. Covenant Network is a group within the Presbyterian Church that's working for the full participation of gay and lesbians throughout the ministry of our denomination. At the conference, one of the speakers was Professor Kenda Dean. She's a professor of youth, culture, and church at Princeton Seminary. And she spoke a bit about what does it mean to be sent out today? Because in effect, we are all missionaries. We're called to serve Christ in the world. But our missionary work today has less to do with geography, about going to Africa or South America or Asia, less to do about geography and more to do about culture, the world around us where we are sent to be disciples. And she says this calling to the culture is important, particularly in relation to our young people. Young people who are not rebelling against the church in this generation, because frankly, for many of them, the church is not significant enough to merit a rebellion. The church is a nice place. It's a place that gives them a framework to understand certain things in their life, but it's in many ways optional or irrelevant or both in a fundamental way. And where did they gain that perspective? From the rest of us. from parents and from a culture and a grouping that says that's the nature of church and faith today. Professor Dean stressed that contemporary culture's faith in recent research has shown itself to be described as what can be called moral therapeutic deism. Our faith traditions today in many churches teach us to do what is good, to be moral. But it also teaches us that the goal of life is to be happy, to be fulfilled. Hence a therapeutic faith. And frankly, God is not to be involved in the equation unless perhaps we have a special need. And then God is invoked to resolve the crisis for us like a cosmic butler. Hence the vague deism. Research has emphasized that young people, frankly, are not radicals in their faith. They mirror very closely what their parents believe. And together these groups are they're comfortable talking about God, but not about Jesus. Not about theology, not about doctrines of faith, because that would then set them apart in an age when getting along and blending in is the top priority. Jesus is perhaps too particular, but Jesus is at the heart of a living faith. Jesus is the figure that sees us, that calls us out from the crowd to be his disciple. That is a tangible, literal act. It means to step away, to respond, not to choose, not to shape, not to control, but to step away and to step towards new things in Christ. I want to try something today. Martin Luther King had an interesting illustration of this point in his sermon called The Drum Major Instinct. We have a clip from that sermon. Now, it's from about 40 years ago. So it's a time when he describes when he's in jail working to be converting the jailers, asking them, hearing them talk about how the race problem cannot be solved in the way King has set it up. But then he asks them how much they make, and he realizes they should be marching with him. So listen carefully from this part from King's sermon.
The other day I was saying, I always try to do a little converting when I'm in jail. And when we were in jail in Birmingham the other day, the white wardens and all enjoyed coming around the cell to talk about the race problem. And they were showing us where we were so wrong demonstrating, and they were showing us where segregation was so right, and they were showing us where intermarriage was so wrong. So I would get to preaching, and we would get to talking calmly because they wanted to talk about it. And then we got down one day to the point, that was the second or third day, to talk about where they lived and how much they were earning. And when those brothers told me what they were earning, I said, now, you know what? You ought to be marching with us. You're just as poor as Negro. And I said, you are put in the position of supporting your oppressor, because through prejudice and blindness, you fail to see that the same forces that oppress Negroes in American society oppress poor white people. And all you are living on is the satisfaction of your skin being white and the drum major instinct of thinking that you are somebody big because you're white, and you're so poor you can't send your children to school. You ought to be out here marching with every one of us every time we have a march.
King talked about for the people that they should join them, because rather than being partners to processes that oppress, to hide behind something as simplistic as a skin color, to move beyond the rhetoric of racism that they've been taught to parrot back at him, and begin to now move forward, because they too were struggling. And so he called them to march with him, to step away to a higher calling of faith, to serve the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Life. Today is Joy Sunday. It's a time to commit ourselves and our pledges and our work to the ministry of Christ here. I would emphasize that Jesus' calling of the 12 apostles is a powerful stewardship message. Because you all know there are lots of ways to quietly participate in our church. You can come to worship. You can read the newsletter. You can attend Sunday school or a church event. But for many, sadly, that only fits within this moral therapeutic deism, a safe philosophy that we can turn on or off as we need or wish. But today is different. We will bring forward food gifts for the hungry that you provided. We will bring forward commitments and pledges and tithes that you will seek to honor. There will be a holy chaos up front here of bags and envelopes of young and old, new members and longtime church folk. But at its heart, I want you to see it as an answer to that call, a physical, literal, stepping forward by faith, just as it was for the 12 apostles. So add your name to the cast of characters called to be disciples. You too have been called first to be with Christ and then sent out to do the good news proclamation and the repression and changing of all that would oppress others. To be the ones who are the voice of change, the hands active in healing, the advocates assisting the oppressed, the witness for what is just, but most importantly, the visible lens through which others can see God in Christ by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. In King's letter from the Birmingham jail, he said, "Human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It only comes through the tireless effort of people willing to be co-workers with God." And that's us, called to be co-workers with God in Christ. So in the words of the Apostle Paul, step forward today to the one who is able to accomplish far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. May all God's people say, Amen. I invite you now to stand and to join in singing the two verses from the hymn, "Today We Are All Called to Be Disciples."